morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How's the morale in the group this morning?
Good.
Sounds like it. This being the third Sunday of Lent, the Lenten season, a time where we are a little more reflective about our relationship with God, seen in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. It's a season where we're a little more repentant, right? Trying to work on some changes in our life as directed by the grace of God. Today, I'd kind of like to talk a little bit about some of the things that we have been discussing over the past couple weeks on looking how this changed life, this life of transformation, is biblically laid out, as well as how it affects us personally. So for today's study, we'd like to read from Luke's writing in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. It's the story of Saul's conversion. So could I have someone graciously read Acts 9, 1 through 9, please.
I got it. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "And I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything.
Okay. All right. First observations.
Well, Jesus came and presented himself to God, to Saul, and who is right now, before that, blind to the way, you know. He's following the world instead of, you know, and how they feel instead of, which is their feelings, which kind of like what we do today still, you know.
So kind of similar to a little diagram we had on the whiteboard a few days ago, yeah, about the blue line and the dotted black line, right? That sometimes we can either be on the right path and sometimes we're on the wrong path. Just so a general structural overview. Luke is the author of Acts. Luke being a Gentile, he's going to put this in classic Greek understanding of what it means to be called. Right? There's a Hellenistic structure to it, and all. If you have a divine vocational calling, in other words, if God calls you, well, if God calls you, it implies what? God. It doesn't get much more divine than that, all right? So if Luke is going to attempt to identify Paul as having a divine calling to the Gentiles, the divine better show up, which is Jesus, all right? So we kind of have that structure. Then in that, we discover that Paul says what? I was persecuting the people of the... Now, I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible has that little three-letter word, way, capitalized.
So is mine.
All right, does anybody have a little footnote, or does anybody have any insight? I mean, what's he talking about?
The way is the way of Christ. The way.
Yeah, he says, so if I found any who belong to the way, men or women, right, I might bring them bound, right, prisoners, back to Jerusalem. So, prior to Paul's little conversion here, and his blessing to take his calling to the Gentiles, I used to persecute these people. Right? Now, we've talked about over the past several weeks on coming to understand what our vocation is as priests and rulers, understanding what our task is, and that Jesus, in his time on earth, inaugurates the kingdom. And we talked about how the kingdom in Greek is basileia, which literally would mean reign or rule or even way. These are the people following this way, right? This rule, this reign. And obviously it's the kingdom of God. And we said that we understand God least wrongly, because oftentimes we're wrong about God. Sometimes we think of God as that cop, you know, who's hiding around the corner waiting to thump us on the head when we sin or we mess up, right? Haul us off to jail, okay? For the listening audience, there's a lot of the gentlemen around these tables nodding their head as if they had personal experience with that encounter, all right? I mean, isn't God's grace beautiful? Or we say, sometimes we think of God as a Santa Claus, and we just, you know, we'll climb up on his knee and give him our wish list, and he'll say, pat us on the head. And, well, if you're a nice boy, if you're on the nice list, so we'll try to make sure we're managing our sin, because we want to make sure we get the new Chrysler 300. Right? Or sometimes we think of God wrongly, when we think of God as like some vending machine. If I put enough coins in here, I can select whatever I want to get out of it. We're wrong. Those are wrong ways to think of God. So we're least wrong when we think of God as selfless love. So if we take kingdom of God and we come to understand it as the way of selfless love, which is what we see lived out in Jesus' life, we see it lived out in Jesus' arrest and beating. We see it lived out when he's hanging on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. We see it in his resurrection, right? We were talking earlier before we came on the air that, can you imagine, you know, one of your friends abandoning you and then or beating you up or something like that, and then you turn around and you just cook him breakfast? And yet that's what he does when he comes back out of the tomb. You know, Peter abandons him, and yet he makes him breakfast, these type of things. So we see it in all of his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. This way of love. And somehow or another, Paul persecutes the way of love. So we understood that, and then we look closer, being the Lenten season, to the death and resurrection, and we see that out of that death and resurrection comes a certain pattern of living in this way. And does anybody recall what those, I gave you three little areas in which that pattern of living looked like?
Three B's?
Yeah, not quite.
Humility?
Yeah, humility.
Suffering, love, and forgiveness.
Yeah, humility, suffering, love, and forgiveness. That's what we see Jesus doing on the cross. That's what we see Jesus with the empty tomb. That should be our pattern of living. Right? We should be humble. Much like he started when he started his ministry in Matthew's Gospel, as the Sermon on the Mount. So, you know, blessed are the meek, yeah, those who are humble. We have a sense of humility. We have a sense of seeing ourselves truthfully. God is creator. We're creatures. God has a certain purpose for our lives. We're to live in accordance to that purpose. But we should also be suffering love. Maybe another way to understand the suffering isn't so much a painful, but we talked a little bit about that last week on this sacrificial. Right? I should be sacrificing things for others. Right? And so during Lent, we may give up some things as kind of a sacrifice. You know, whether it be donuts or, I don't know, it could be bad habits, it could be instituting something new. So we're sacrificing the old for the new. And then we talk about forgiveness, and we said, well, we're just not to be receivers of forgiveness that God offers through the cross, but we're also to be, having been forgiven, we need to be agents of forgiving others. Okay, this is the way of life, the pattern of living. the way of the kingdom that Paul has persecuted. This is the way that we've discovered that God has called us to be part of what we had on our diagram, the blue line. How are you guys doing with that?
Doing better.
How so?
As for me in the past, when I was living as the world, I was living as how I felt, you know, things make me feel good, it must be good. But now, because like the world kind of deceives us and our compass is kind of off, now that I'm here learning Christ in my life, I'm using Him as my compass, you know, and getting me that true north towards God, you know, and living less selfish, being selfless, you know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. I think I understand. Okay. Anybody else?
I can't just stop, you know, sinning, but I can, you know, eliminate some of the sins by working on, you know, the way I think and my patterns. And, you know, I can, you know, exit, you know, some sins off, but, you know, I ain't perfect and nobody perfect except God, Jesus. So that's another one.
Okay. We talked the other day that sometimes developing these new habits of the heart, we call them. You know, what are some things that we're going to, what steps are we going to take as we pursue the goal? Now, you remember, Paul uses this Greek word, teleos. Jesus uses it in the Sermon on the Mount. In Paul's writings, it is translated as perfect, and sometimes it's translated as goal. Jesus in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, it gets translated into perfect, where Jesus says, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Teleos. Be teleos as your Heavenly Father's teleos. Paul says, I pursue the teleos. Right? In Christ, we have been made teleos, perfect. And so, do you recall what we talked about when we said that? That it means to be complete. All right? That God has an objective. God has an intention for God's creation. God has a goal. Jesus inaugurating the way of the kingdom, we said, really reveals to us what it means to be truly human, right? And the truly human is the one who is moving toward the teleos, the goal, who's moving toward completion. So let us not let ourselves off the hook by saying, God's perfect, Jesus perfect, I'm not. When Scripture says you're called to be perfect, right? Now, the problem is we tend to interpret perfection with this idea of being flawless. Right? And yes, we're not going to be flawless, particularly if we're just, like Paul, just kind of starting this conversion experience, this life transformation. We're not going to get it right. The other day when we talked about maybe, you know, you've been swinging a golf club for a long time and somebody who's a better golfer than you comes up and says, hey, you might want to change your grip a little bit. And as you're swinging, that just feels really awkward now. But the ball seems to be going straighter, so it seems to be working. So I now have to adapt myself to understand that this new habit of gripping the golf club this way, I have to do it more and more before it becomes what? Second nature. The new grip, all of a sudden, is much more comfortable. Well, that's kind of what our new life in Christ is like. Right? There's going to be some new habits we have to learn. And you're right, Jess, and we may not always get those right to start with, but the reason we pursue them is because we are pursuing the teleos. We are pursuing perfection. We are pursuing to be complete, right? A complete, truly human, right, that has been transformed in the way of love. That make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right, gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.